This is Mobile Suit Patron Down. And we're your hosts. I'm Tom, and this is a bonus episode, so I don't have to do an and.
And I'm Nina, and we realized we are halfway through Mobile Suit Gundam 0079.
We just finished recording our research sections for episodes 22 and 23, The Trap of McVeigh, and the other one?
Oh, Matilda's Rescue.
Yeah, Matilda's Rescue. So we are going to do something in the grand tradition of anime, and we're going to do a mid-season recap episode.
To keep things interesting, we are going to be going back over the season with an eye to which episodes feel essential and which episodes maybe you don't have to watch.
Yeah, and maybe which episodes, if there are any, I'm not saying there are, but which episodes you're probably better off not watching. So that is what we're going to do. The way we're going to do this, we have no notes. We have no scripts. We're just going to go through the episodes episode by episode. We're going to recap what we remember about them, give you some bullet points, some highlights. And then we're going to each independently rate whether we think that this episode is essential or whether you should skip it. And I'll keep track of those. And then at the end, I'll give you a rundown.
I love how you say episode by episode as if I will remember every episode. I think that's highly unlikely.
I bet you remember more than you expect once we start going through it. We're going to start with episode one. I believe the English title is Gundam Rises or Gundam Rising.
Yeah, I definitely won't remember episode titles. That is some fanboy nonsense.
Look, it's not my fault that my brain works this way. I didn't choose to be this. I am merely taking advantage of the gifts and curses with which I was born. All right, so side seven, Amuro's building a computer in his underwear, Zeon attack. I think we can agree the first episode, totally essential.
Yes. It sets up our main characters. It establishes the Kai we all know and love to hate.
Kai is not in the first episode.
What?
Not at all.
He's in the second one.
Yep.
Okay. The first two episodes mush into one episode in my head.
I agree. They're basically one episode. Watch them together. Don't try to watch them separately.
And they all basically cover the Zeon attack on Side 7, including the introduction of Char. And the attempt to steal or destroy the Gundam. Amuro first getting into the Gundam. Amuro's first combat, including collateral damage.
Collateral damage named Temrei, Amuro's dad, who, these are the only two episodes he has appeared in so far. And he gets sucked out into the void of space thanks to Amuro blowing up a nuclear reactor inside of Azaku.
This similarly sets up why all of the civilians have to leave the side. He's rendered it uninhabitable.
Way to go, Amuro. Sasuga Amuro.
Anywho.
We basically decided that number two is part of number one, and it is also essential.
Yes.
Yeah, number two gives us the rest of the cast. It gives us Sayla and Kai introduced for the first times. I believe Ryu gets introduced for the first time in episode two. His first scene is him in a gun turret, and Captain Paolo, at this point not yet injured, comes in and takes over the gun turret from Ryu, at which point they get hit by a Zeon missile, and that's how Paolo gets injured. He gets injured instead of Ryu. So in a way, there's actually some nice symmetry to how Ryu goes out, saving his own shipmates, just like Captain Paolo did for him.
It also introduces the connection between Sayla and Char, which we don't get verified until much later.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting how much they give you in that scene, because it's not like they share a look and is there something? No, they clearly recognize each other. And Char even goes, could that be my sister Artesia? And then he says, no, of course not. But like, we know at that point, the show has made it obvious.
And the implication is that he's older, so he probably looks less different than he did. We know from later flashbacks she has that they probably last saw each other when she was quite small. And so while she looks similar, she's grown up enough that the doubt in his mind is reasonable.
I think it's more that Char was young enough at that point that his memory is not as great. Because when Rambaral sees Sayla, he needs less than a split second to realize that she is Artesia.
You may be right.
Both essential. I'll mark it down. Three, vote to attack.
I think non-essential.
Yeah. It was a fun episode to research. I really liked what you did with the
group decision making.
Yeah, the characteristically Japanese method of making decisions as a group. I thought that was really interesting research. So listen to the podcast episode. Maybe skip the episode of the show.
It's a good episode. It's fun. It's not one that I watched and was like, ugh, that was a waste. But in terms of understanding the story as a whole, not a big deal.
Agreed.
It shows some early ineptitude as everyone is new to this. People make a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of kind of fumbling in the combat.
But you get a little bit of that in 2. I think you get a little of that in 4 and 5. This is the episode that really centers that and highlights it.
Mm-hmm.
But agreed, not essential.
I had forgotten about that episode entirely. I thought the next one was Escape from Luna 2.
That's number 4. So we are there now.
Okay. This one I think is debatable.
Ah.
Because I can see sort of 2 rationale here. And since I don't know the way the second half of the series is going to go, I don't actually know. I don't feel like I can make a call.
Okay.
I see the 2 halves of this being Escape from Luna 2 establishes our main characters, our white-based crew, as outsiders in the military structure. And it's really only in episode 24 or 25 that we've just watched recently, that ceases to be the case, that they start to feel like part of the Federation military. So they spend this entire first half sort of, kind of, vaguely associated to varying degrees. It seems to depend on people's moods and the mission at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaning towards that outsider status not being super important. But like I said, depending on things that happen in the second half of the series, that outsider status could actually be super important. And the fact that that gets established in Escape from Luna 2 could make Escape from Luna 2 an essential episode.
You have put me in a very difficult position, you know, because now I cannot weigh in without maybe sort of kind of spoiling things for you a little bit.
Well, I mean, you can say whether or not you think their outsider status is significant to the arc of the series as a whole. That really doesn't tell me a whole lot.
Oh, doesn't it? Now you're just trying to talk me into giving you spoilers, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not weighing in. This one's debatable. Moving on to number 5. Number 5 is Reentry to Earth, which is both what happens in the episode and also the name of it.
I mean, important because if you just skip ahead to them being on Earth, there is some confusion as to how they got there and all right. Why.
Narratively very important.
We've talked in many episodes about how confusing the movements of the white base are.
Yep.
Geographically. And so leaving out an important chunk of that, I think, would make it that much more confusing.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this is essential. You know why?
Why?
Because it shows how reckless Amuro is.
Mm.
This is the episode where we really see Amuro get so invested in this fight that he's in. He's so desperate to kill every Zeon that comes across his path that he's willing to risk burning up in reentry in order to do it. And he refuses orders to come back in.
And he's not just risking his life, he's thoughtlessly risking his life. Yep. I don't think it occurs to him like, it's worth my dying to achieve X goal.
No. If that is what went through his head, he is wrong.
Right. But on the reckless side of Amuro's nature, I don't think he even thought about it that way.
No. Sakuzaru's trigger.
Okay.
I also think we get some very interesting Char psychology going on here, with the risks that Char is willing to take and the risks that Char is not willing to take.
True, but since I haven't seen Char in what feels like forever, how important is he even really? I don't know.
You're right, you're right. That's a good question. I think Char is gone forever. Char is never coming back. He made a huge impression on us in those first couple of episodes, and that is why the fandom is so into Char. That's purely that.
We'll never see him again.
I mean, fun fact, the Black TriStars, who were in an episode we just watched, they were in 2 episodes. They go out pretty ignominiously in those 2 episodes. They aren't actually very impressive as a threat, but they cast a long shadow in Gundamverse, way outsize of their actual importance in the show.
We'll talk about that, I guess, when we talk about the whole series, because I have some thoughts about that. We can talk about that when we talk about those episodes.
Yeah. All right. Episode 6, Garma Strikes.
Is this when they're near the lake?
No, not yet.
Okay.
They've just landed. This picks up right as soon as 5 ends. They've just re-entered the atmosphere. Char has radioed ahead to Garma. So Garma and his Gao and a bunch of tanks and planes and Zaku are waiting for them.
Is this the first of Char's sabotage attempts?
No, that hasn't happened yet. This is the one with Char's shower scene. And This is the one where we get the first indications that Shar and Garma might be Sharma. And...
No, finish your list and then I will comment.
And this is the episode with two essential developments on the white base. One, Amuro has his first breakdown. Two, the orphans steal a persimmon.
So I think the implication that Shar and Garma were at one point romantically or sexually or both involved with each other is interesting, but not narratively relevant. It's not a factor in Shar's vengeance.
Isn't it, though? No,
I don't think it is at all. It doesn't seem to be a factor in any of Garma's further development. You know, I would say maybe that's why Garma trusts Shar, but I don't think Garma does completely trust Shar.
Mm-hmm.
Just gets outfoxed. So this is one of those pieces that, while it's interesting, is not, I think, super narratively relevant. Amuro's first breakdown is, though.
Okay. I agree. I think Amuro's first breakdown is essential viewing. And I do think Garma's time on the show doesn't last that long, but it is a fair few episodes.
It's interesting characterization, but it's not a pivotal point in any narrative moment.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. And what's so interesting about Shar and Garma is really, at first you think there's this kind of relationship between the two of them, and then steadily your impression of it keeps getting pushed further and further and further away from that initial, like, friendly rivals idea of who they are,
mm-hmm.
until you get to that episode when Shar kills Garma,
right.
Basically. What's so interesting is it how gradual it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the high point for them. And then it's all downhill from here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's nice to have that highest point.
Mm.
But, you know, the next episode gives us thus only slightly further down point. And that you could just as easily start there and still get the same narrative experience. But Amuro makes it essential.
It also makes me wonder, because it starts to establish some of the selfish behavior on the part of the refugees, particularly the older adults. And if we think that that is a super important part of the story, that's another point in this episode's favor. But I'm not sure, the refugees are.
Like, yeah.
It explains how the orphans wind up on this military vessel, but that's about it.
It's thematically consistent with Gundam as a whole and the whole adults are enemies thing, but it's hardly the only example of that we get.
Yeah.
I'm
not... Yeah, I think you could excise all the refugee portions of the show and still get the show.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, the parts with the refugees on the white base itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mostly agree with you.
Anyway, that puts us solidly in the watch this episode column.
Yep. And we're on to 7, which is...
Is this the one where they go to Saint Ange and it's a lake now?
That's either this one or the next one. No, this is the Core Fighter's escape, where Amuro launches and he tries to contact Federation HQ, but he gets spotted. He like blacks out and he gets spotted and he gets hunted down by Shar and he's forced to return to the white base. And I think the vagueness of our recollection,
clearly not,
and the fact that we totally elided this episode in our memory suggests that this is not an essential one.
Watch us both go back and look at the list after we're done with this. And we're like, oh, shoot, there was something really important there. But
no.
Anyway.
Now we are on to Saint Ange and the Winds of War, or The Battlefield is a Wasteland.
This is another one that has, I feel like, important points thematically, but not narratively.
Hmm. Yeah, we have ordinary Zeon soldiers being nice to this widow and orphan child and Amuro shooting them down.
Well, but Amuro also seeing them
mm-hmm.
being kind to these civilians who are from the other side. This is one of our first Gundam moments of the bad guys aren't always that bad. You know, the mm-hmm. bad guys aren't always mm-hmm. devils. But I don't know that anything super important happens.
Au contraire, because in this episode, we get the first appearances of the Gun Perry and Job John.
Like I said, nothing super important happened in this episode.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Wait, but is this the episode where we see... No, never mind. I'm thinking of much later.
This might be the first episode with the gun cannon.
Meh. You're making a thinking face.
I am. I just remembered something significant about episode 7. I don't think it moves it out of the skip category and into the essential category, but episode 7 is when Bright slaps Kai for the first time. And I believe it is the first Bright slap to appear in the show. So it's a landmark.
Does he slap him or punch him? I thought he punched Kai.
I think he slaps Kai.
Okay.
Oh, no, no. He definitely punches Kai.
Kai gets punched.
Yeah.
Something we haven't discussed is the fact that Amuro gets slapped rather than punched, an attempt to be nicer to Amuro or an attempt to baby Amuro because Amuro is acting like a child.
Hmm.
Like, I would punch a man for this, but you're behaving like an infant, so smack.
That is fair, yeah.
Just to be clear, we do talk when we talk about the physical violence in this episode about how we do not in any way condone hitting children, but that there is a societal and cultural background for that appearing in this show at this time. And we explain that in our podcast episode.
Okay, so that's episode 8, not essential.
I thought you said that was 7.
7 is the Core Fighters Escape. That's okay. The one with the Kai slap.
The one where we're like, no.
Back to. Okay. 8 is Winds of War.
Okay.
Which, you know, watch it if you want to. It's not essential, but it's also not bad. I put Core Fighters Escape in the skip category just because it's so
unmemorable.
That takes us to episode 9. And this, I think, is when Amuro gets slapped. This is Amuro's second breakdown. And this is, I believe, when Char first really betrays Garma. This is when Char sabotages the communication circuit so that Garma can't call for assistance when he's being pursued by the Gundam.
Okay.
And first appearance of Matilda.
I would say that the combination of the breakdown, the betrayal, and Matilda's appearance, not simply as a character, but for her relationship to Amuro and for her little drop of maybe you're an Esper.
Right, at the end of the episode.
Makes this a narratively significant episode. But what do they actually do?
This is the one where Amuro gets like tunnel vision on Garma and is like leaping, following him right into the range of Garma's Gao heavy cannons. But the Gao doesn't fire because Garma is trying to radio them to do it. But Char has disabled the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
I think in this one, the white base is in dire straits and they get attacked. And Amuro is like, I don't want to go out. And then Bright goes in and slaps him
around
a bit.
And there's a whole thing. And
then Frau shames him into going. Out. Yep. Man, you know who I forgot about completely?
Who?
Lieutenant Reed.
That's true. He's there briefly.
He has been on the white base since episode 5, and he's still there now.
He's still there?
He's still there. I think he leaves with Matilda.
Okay. I thought you meant still there, like, in the episodes that we just watched.
I mean, in episode 9, the one we were just talking about.
Yeah, I remembered him leaving with Matilda.
All right, so episode 9, essential. Episode 10.
This is the one that opens in New York.
Yes.
Okay.
With Iselina and Garma at a party, and Char is there drinking what appears to be green whiskey, watching them through the window.
I'm going to call this one essential.
I mean, blame this on the misfortune of your birth.
Yeah. Ultimate betrayal.
Top 10 anime betrayals.
Except really.
All right, no debate on that one. 11. Iselina loves remains. Oh, by the way, 10, the English title was Garma's Fate, and I contrived to get Nina to watch the episode before learning what the title was to avoid spoilers. But yes, Iselina loves remains.
Given what I know about things that happen later in the season, I think this one is... I'm torn. I was going to say possibly skippable because we have a different...
Better.
...lover revenge later.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the first moment when we get that sense of... Like, everyone in a whole society pulled into this cycle of vengeance that war creates rather than just the combatants themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the first time that we've seen any people in occupied Zeon territory who aren't Zeon soldiers. And to this point, it's really the only time we've seen, like, Zeon citizens, right? It's the only time we've seen people who are not refugees in some sense or another.
There is also, however, some really terrible animation.
So bad.
And I don't remember anything else essential from this episode.
No. Yeah, I don't. I think it's interesting. I don't think it's essential.
Yeah.
There's some nice world building that happens early on in it. It also is the first episode that really introduces the Zabi clan. There's like an opening narration with Dozel going home.
Mm.
But we get that.
We get a much better version of that at the funeral.
Yeah. So I would say skip Iselina Love's Remains.
Definitely have to watch the funeral episode, though.
Yeah, no question about that. Girin's speech is justifiably famous in the fandom. This is also the first appearance of Romba Rawl, the first appearance of the Goof.
This is the first time we really see Girin.
Mm-hmm. And Kyselia.
Yeah, and learn about Kyselia's interest in Shar.
We actually see some Zabi family politics. We get an impression of the Sovereign, Daeguin, and Girin, and Dozel, and Kyselia, and how they all interact with each other, how they're all plotting against each other, how exhausted Daeguin is, and how Girin is really leading the show. And if by this point you had not yet figured out that the Zabi family and Xion were analogs for fascist Germany and fascist Japan during the war.
And maybe also Italy.
Yeah, we have some theories that we are excited to talk about.
The Axis powers, basically.
Yeah.
Well, the speech also gives us the very important opportunity to learn that for many of our characters who were living in neutral territory, they didn't really know or understand much about this conflict or why it was happening. This is their first insight into what Xion is and what Xion is trying to achieve. It's their wake-up call, ideologically.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And we get that nice bit of Bright characterization at the end where we realize that Bright, more than anybody else, is a true believer.
Bright, in the Federation.
Bright yep. understands the Xion threat better than anybody else. All right?
I don't remember what happens other than the funeral, but...
it's all framed with the Romba Rawl attack.
Amuro's first time fighting. So yeah, it introduces Romba Rawl and Hammond. Cool.
13, coming home. Or, we meet again, mother.
Absolutely essential.
Yeah, it's not 100% of what's important for Amuro, but it is a lot of it. And I don't think you can understand Amuro without watching this episode.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Haro? Haro.
Haro. For when you're Genki.
Episode 14, Time, Be Still. This is the one with the Wappa riders who plant bombs all over the Gundam. World building, nice. We get the Xion soldiers who are just doing their jobs and just want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
I love those stupid hover bikes. I love their janky station wagon that they drive around in at the end.
That looks like a van at one point.
Yep.
I love this episode because it's one of our first signs that the various members of the White Base crew are coming together as a team when they all rush out at the end to help Amuro.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen that kind of all-encompassing teamwork, that same sense of all of them caring about each other and being in this together, I don't think, in other episodes before this. This is really the one.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we're going to get more of that later, and I just don't think there's anything particularly important that happens in this episode.
No, not really. It's another good one. It's fun. It's mm-hmm. it's very well done.
Yeah. Watch it if you like Gundam. But if you're just trying to get that essential Gundam experience, it's not necessary. And that brings us to 15, which is Kukuru's Doan's Island.
Not necessary.
Agreed. Not necessary. We know it's not necessary because it's not even in the English release. I will
badly written.
Yep. Badly animated for the most part.
Some occasional pretty mm-hmm. scenes, but no ongoing characters introduced. No significant characterization for old characters.
Nothing that happens in it will get referenced ever again. I will say, though, I think if you are interested and you haven't seen it, it is worth tracking down. For the simple reason that I like to think of Kukuru's Doan's Island as an episode that fell into our timeline from an alternate universe where Tomino never got hired to work on Gun Boy. And so they just made the silly, stupid super robot show that they had originally planned. Kukuru's Doan's Island is an episode of Agile Fighter Gun Boy.
I also wondered if Kukuru's Doan's Island isn't meant to set up Amuro's eventual desertion, that he gets the idea because he's seen this Xion soldier who is a deserter. But I don't think you necessarily need that setup for Amuro's eventual desertion to feel realistic and sensible.
And there's no, they don't do any of the work in those later episodes when he does desert to suggest that he's thinking about Kukuru's.
Absolutely true. Non-essential.
And that brings us to 16. I know Romba Rawl is back. This might be Sayla's agony.
That sounds right.
Yeah, Sayla's Agony. So in this one, Sayla, the white base has finally reached Asia and is traveling through Central Asia. They make contact with a new Xeon ship, the land cruiser, the Gallop, which is going to keep showing up for the next couple of episodes. Rambaral commanding, Haman actually commanding. and they get into a dust up with Ramba and his team of Zaku piloting commandos. And Sayla steals the Gundam. This is Sayla's first attempt piloting the Gundam. It doesn't go super well for her.
She's had a couple hours of simulator experience. This is another one I feel a little torn about.
Okay.
Because I don't think we need it from the perspective of most of what happens in the episode. And I don't think we necessarily even need it for confirmation that Char is Sayla's brother.
We knew that.
We were pretty confident, even if they weren't. but her feelings about that do feel significant.
Agreed.
The fact that she cries when she finds out he's still alive.
And this is Sayla. This is stone-faced Sayla.
Tells us a lot about her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's clearly going to continue to be an important character with the white base. So that's a very significant characterization.
Yeah. And her stealing the Gundam, I think that says a lot about what she's willing to do. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important for Sayla's characterization too. Also, Rambaral and Haman are great. And this is the episode that ends with Kozan being captured. That's pretty important, at least for setting up the next episode. I guess, you know, you're right. You didn't say anything, but I can see it from your face. Your face is right that doesn't really feel like it has any kind of enduring narrative significance.
Yeah, there's nothing about Kozan's capture or attempted escape or dying in his escape that matters.
Yeah.
Maybe the fact that he offers Sayla to break out with him and she says no.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not surprised by that.
No.
And
I guess he gives some, well, now we're getting into the next episode.
Yeah.
what do you say? 16, Sayla's Agony, essential?
I still feel on the fence about it.
Okay.
What do you think?
I feel kind of on the fence about it too.
I think that means it's non-essential.
Maybe. It feels like a lot of important things happen in it, but nothing so important that it's essential.
I think the real test is, will later essential things make sense without it? And I think they will.
Yeah, I think they will. Some later essential things are going to make sense in a different kind of way, because after this, whenever Sayla goes out to pilot, or, you know, in the most recent episode, when she gets assigned to piloting the G armor because she has mobile suit experience, it's always going to come with that context of, yeah, because she stole the mobile suit.
Mm.
Whereas without this episode, it makes her seem
more
like
legitimate.
A more legitimate pilot. More adherent to, military
rules,
doctrine and
regulations.
Rules and regulations. Yeah, I'm going to say this shows us a side of Sayla that we don't get in a lot of the other episodes.
So you're going to say essential?
I think so.
Okay. Does it spark joy?
That episode definitely sparks joy. Also, I just love Rambaral hiding in the sand.
It's really good.
Like an antlion.
Well, and now I'm remembering the combat from that episode and Sayla panicking as her cameras all get taken out.
And Amuro in the gun cannon jumping around like it's the Gundam.
Well, and eventually dragging Zaku away by its face.
The Zaku that he punched and tripped?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. 17. Amuro desserts.
Yeah. Essential.
Right. And the brief recap of this episode is Amuro desserts.
The brief recap of this episode is Amuro, in a fit of hyper anxiety, gets overconfident and makes some serious mistakes in the field. Ship mom and ship dad, which is to say Mirai and Bright, are discussing his performance and whether or not they need to either partially or completely remove him from service on the Gundam, start introducing other pilots, etc. He overhears this conversation and runs away in a pout. Yep. Also, he's exhausted and traumatized. Not to downplay what he's going through. He's going through some serious stuff. But also, he does not talk through that with anyone.
No.
He leaves, and doesn't just leave, but takes the Gundam with him. He takes his ball and goes home.
Yep.
Only the ball is the best defense that the other people have, and he takes it for himself.
Yeah, and it wasn't his ball to begin with. All right, so that takes us to episode 18, which is Amuro in the desert eating tinned beans. It's called Xion's Secret Mine, because this is the one where Amuro goes rogue, finds a Xion mining base, which he naively assumes is the only Xion mine, the one that the entire might of the Federation is currently preparing to attack, and he attacks it himself, getting into a fight with the Adzam, piloted by McVeigh and Kaecilia.
I don't feel like this episode is very important in and of itself, but it does feel important that Amuro's desertion lasts the period of time that it does. Like,
I was thinking exactly the same thing.
Like, I'm not sure that any of the things that happen here are that important for later, but the fact that he doesn't come back within an episode, that he's actually gone like 1.5 more episodes after his initial desertion,
mm-hmm.
feels important.
Yeah, I was thinking, well, gosh, like, I think this is an important episode, but I wish it were combined with the things that happen in the next episode, because that together, I think, makes a very good episode. But like you said, marking time in this way is important. It shows the depth of what Amuro has done and how committed to it he is.
Well, and him contending with his feelings and Fra's commitment to bringing him back.
And his stubbornness. His unwillingness to admit that he's made a mistake.
And the crew discussions of, but what will we do
right.
if we do get him to come back?
Right. And by stretching it out over a couple of episodes like this, it allows a natural progression for the crew from, well, if Amuro comes back now, all is forgiven, to, I don't know that we ever forgive him for this.
Right. So I wish there were a way to give an audience that sense of passage of time without this episode, because the episode's not that important.
Mm-hmm.
Amuro does some foolish stuff. That's, you know, Sasuga Amuro.
Yeah. But I think if you skip this episode, you don't really get that feeling. You don't really get that experience. So I think, like episodes 1 and 2, you just have to treat this one and the next one as one episode and call them both essential.
Okay.
So that's 18 essential. 19, we've already agreed, is essential, but let's talk about it a little bit. This is Rambaral's attack. This is Amuro encountering Rambaral and Haman while incognito in the desert, having a pretty pleasant interaction with them.
Except for the part where he pulls a gun.
He fondles a gun. He never pulls it. And that just impresses Rambaral more. And then we end the latter half of the episode with a duel between the Gundam and the Goof that ends with Amuro destroying the Goof.
We also get Amuro's return to the White Base, his continued inability to admit that he's done anything wrong, and him having to contend with the fallout of that from the rest of the crew. It's also the episode where he and Fra almost talk about their feelings.
So it's almost important in that. But yeah, I'd say really good Rambaral episode. The best fight that we've had in the show so far.
Mm-hmm.
Essential.
Yes.
All right. We're getting near the end game now. Episodes 20 and 21. Episode 20 is... Ah, yes. Episode 20 is Hand-to-Hand Combat, and episode 21 is Sorrow and Hatred. We did these two on the podcast as one podcast episode because they are so closely connected. These are the Rambaral and Haman and Ryu episodes, where Rambaral and his commandos invade the White Base. And then Ramba is killed in the first episode, Haman launches a revenge attack in the second, and Ryu dies in a kamikaze attack on Haman at the end of the second episode. They're real sad.
They're very sad. I do think they're essential
mm-hmm.
because they get us from totally unrepentant Amuro to Amuro who understands and has been reintegrated and reaccepted into the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in between. They also give us the much more emotionally impactful revenge story.
Yeah, the strength of these episodes is a big part of why we think you can skip episode 11.
And we get the first name drop for Sayla's father, which we sort of assume because of Char's betrayal of Garma, that Garma's family did something to Char's family that resulted in Char and Artesia being separated, something bad happening to Char's family. We assume it's political, we don't know what, but this is the first time we learn that Xion is named for their family, The Zombies didn't name Zeon. It's named for the Zeons, who are now nowhere to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But I'm sure that's not going to be important.
Oh, no. Definitely not. That's not why Kaecilia wanted Char at all, I'm sure.
That's not why Char had Garma removed.
Anyway, very intense episodes. Lots of important things happen. It's possible, though unlikely, that once I've seen the rest of the series, I might even scrap some of this as not essential to understanding the full arc of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems unlikely.
Okay, so let's go through the scorecard. Out of 21 total episodes, we have 14, two-thirds, that we think are essential, which is, I think, pretty good. There was only one episode in there that we found utterly forgettable, which was episode 7. So feel free to skip that one. The strongest run in there starts around episode 16. And from 16 to 21, we thought they were all essential. Part of that might be a recency bias.
I was going to say, we just watched those, so we're going to remember them more clearly than the early stuff.
I do think the show is getting better as it goes along, kind of picking up steam.
Well, and like I said, we'll probably do this again when we get to the end, when we finish the series, and see if our perspective has changed on any of these early episodes.
So if you haven't been watching and you want to watch just the essentials, that's episodes 1 and 2. Skip 3, although there is a majestic space walrus with the finest mustache in space in it.
Better than Ramaral?
It's a bigger mustache. I don't think Gadam is better than Ramaral, but I think his mustache might be.
Okay.
4, we are sort of not prepared to make a decision on 4 out of fear of spoilers. 5 and 6, watch those. Skip 7. Skip 8, watch 9 and 10. Skip 11, watch 12 and 13 for some Amuro mother complex excitement. And in 12, of course, the speech. Skip 14 and 15, and then watch 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. But make sure that you have tissues around for those latter ones.
It has taken us just shy of 5 months to get through the first half of the series. Now that we are doing most podcast episodes on 2 show episodes, we are hoping to be finished with this series in time for the 40th anniversary in April.
Woo! And then we'll watch the movies and we'll basically go through this storyline all over again. And we'll be able to see what things they considered essential and what things they decided to cut out when they abbreviated it.
Ooh, looking forward to that.
We will also be bringing in some people who have never watched any Gundam before for the movies. So look forward to it.
Just a reminder, patrons, you get priority for submitting questions for our Q&A episodes. And at certain patron levels, you can submit wrong Gundam opinions. You can send either questions for the Q&A or wrong Gundam opinions to us through the Patreon messaging system. If you have specific topics that you would like us to discuss in more depth, let us know. We are always open to new research ideas, and we will be doing monthly bonus episodes. And one of those could be a special subject episode.
The intro song is Wasp by Misha Dioxin. The closing music is Long Way Home by Spinning Ratio. You can find links and more in the show notes. And thank you for listening.